بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لما قلت بي رحمة الله عليه البوتسي حديث لن أمرين قائد ما أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة. Generally, what will be the cause of people entering into Jannat? We have come here primarily to earn the pleasure, and the place of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is Jannah. To understand this, take the example of a hall, right? Someone is going for a wedding. So you ask him, where is he going to? He's going to Orient Hall. Right. But is the hall the real thing that he's got in mind? No, he wants to attend that wedding. He wants to see the bride. Right. All right. So that's the actual reason for him going there. But he doesn't say that I'm going to see the bride. He says, I'm going to the hall. Why? The hall is the place where the bride will be viewed. So Jannat is the place where the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala will be obtained. So therefore you say Jannat, you ask for Jannat. Therefore in Ramadan you ask for Jannat in abundance. One simple way to get these four things. In Ramadan you're supposed to be engaging in four things. La ilaha illallah, istighfar, Jannat, asking for Jannat, and asking refuge against Jahannam. So in the tarweeha, in the four rakats interval that you have, read some La ilaha illallah. Mula Yusuf, he pauses for some time. Last year was a little bit more, this year maybe decreased a little bit, but he pauses, alhamdulillah. So that for interval can be a little bit more, read more La ilaha illallah. I was counting, sometimes you can read what 25 istighfars and about 25 La ilaha illallah. And then I added one more thing. You know, if you find Shadda Qadr, then you're supposed to be asking, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Sometimes you may just slip to make this dua. So the simple thing is, in the tarweeha, then maybe you read 15 times La ilaha illallah, 15 times istighfar, and read some Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. But dil laga karke, with your heart. Not just a lip movement. Everybody knows the meaning of istighfar. Everybody knows the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And inshallah, I think most will know more or less what is the essence of Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. So someone had asked, ma aktharu ma yudkhilu an-nas al-jannah. Generally, how old people, what would be the cause? See, this is a journey. We need to understand that it's a journey. And we need to know what's the destination. So we know what type of arrangement to make. Going on a journey, it's a destination. So when that is the destination, then what type of arrangements are to be made? We are moving towards Qiyamah, right? That's the end. And we want the ticket to Jannat. So now the question is, then how do you go there? So the Sahaba Kiram, Allah Ta'ala filled the graves with Noor million, billion, trillion times over. So everything that was needed for by us, they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever was needed, whatever was required on this journey, they asked, they inquired. There was no need to ask anything that was intricate or something that was absurd, something that was not clear. All the sophisticated things they didn't ask. They ask simple, straightforward things, not sophisticated things. Where's Mars? Where's Jupiter? So on the flight, from Dubai to Durban, so there was a white near me. You see the next near me, and his two children, two boys, they have been about 5 or 6 years of age. So the discussion with the parents was about the dinosaurs. He see the dinosaur. No, kya fayda bhai? Kya fayda? So why ask? Why talk about these things that are not related? Things that don't concern you, complicated, sophisticated things. Why must we ask about these things? Deen yusrun, deen is easy. Follow the easy path. It's complicated things and all that. Leave it for these wives. They don't have Jannat in their agenda. They don't have Qiyamat in their agenda. So their lives will be engaged in futilities. When we say, we talk about Jannat and we are wanting to work towards Jannat, and speak about the things, discuss the things that will be really beneficial. Futile things bring complication, bring doubts. Kya fayda? Hamara fayda, na bachcho ka fayda. No, do we benefit? No, do those children benefit? Jannat is not just a jackpot. I was advising on Qari Sahib many years ago, I think before the madrasa had started, over 30 years ago. So I've seen Qari Sahib, it would be nice if you join us for Fajr Namaz. So you were very irritated. So he says to me, when I listen to these nazams and all that, then my soul is near the Jali Mubarak. See now these feelings, these sophisticated things, feelings, wajd and kash and all that, they attach a lot of importance to this. Allah Thami Sabanda says that the qiyas of the fuqa, analogy, where they draw some conclusion through the process of analogy. The four principles, Quran, Hadith, Ijma, consensus, right, of ulama, fuqaha, etc. And number four, the fourth principle is qiyas. Qiyas is through a process of analogy you come to a right conclusion. So Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi is a mujaddid of tasawuf, is a faqih, is a mufassir. Right. So when this discussion was in his presence, so he says, a million kashf and ilham is nowhere near one single qiyas. See? Qiyas, there is the last, lowest principle. But this is so important that on the one end is a million kashf experiences. You know, someone saw something, was an inspiration, right? Or some beautiful type of a dream he had experienced. So one person had this. So he says that you have a million this type of experience. It doesn't come anywhere near one single qiyas, an analogy of a faqih. That's a status, maqam thing. So the sahaba kiram are inquiring, what would enter you into Jannat? Real things. Not asking about sophisticated and complicated things. Simple, straightforward. You complicate things will become complicated for you. Man shadda, shadda Allahu alayhi. You want to make it difficult, then things will become difficult. It's an easy path, but leave it easy, let it carry on. Don't bring complications. So Nabi Sallallahu said, outline two things. One is taqwa Allah, and the second was husnul khuluq. So Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullah explains this hadith. He says, to taqwa Allah, you will get your relationship with Allah Ta'ala right. Husnul khuluq, you will get the relationship with people right. So as though in this two, there will be some the whole deen. Huququllah and huququl ibad. Get the huququllah right. Get the huququl ibad right. Huququllah, he explains it as taqwallah. And taqwallah is not a difficult thing for you to understand. Whatever will incur the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. So for that, an easy approach, in the words of Al-Mu'at Hanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi, before doing anything, ta'ammul or pure ta'ammul. Don't do things spontaneously. Something came into your mind and you just did it. The thought came, let me look at my phone. So you just went and looked into it. And then you ended up looking something that was unpleasant. So don't do things spontaneously. Do things intentionally. Do I need to look at the phone? What are the pros and the cons? If I'm going to see and I'm not going to see, what's going to happen? The thought came, let me just go take a walk to the mall, right? For some entertainment. No, I don't do things spontaneously. Don't do things on impulse. Now think first, if I'm going to go there, then I'm going to expose to a lot of unpleasant things. Sometimes it's woman not dressed correctly. Sometimes it's music blasting. Sometimes I'm going to spend on things that I don't need, right? I don't need, but now impulsive. I saw something, I want to buy the thing. So don't do anything on impulse. Balki ta'ammul, socho, think. Think, what is the short-term consequence? What is the long-term consequence? I'm going to do this, but what is going to be the short-term and long-term consequence before I take the step? In the same way, on a lighter note, whether it's Ramadan or after Ramadan, when you're eating as well, then there are ta'ammul, think. Someone say, go on a seafood diet. Seafood, see the food, right? But think what you're going to eat. What are you going to eat? How it's going to impact on your system. Now you overfill the system, or you add things that are not appropriate, and the whole day your stomach is churning, troubling, and twisting and turning. Now, is that worth it? Worth it. Eat, understand your system, how much you can take, what is good for you, what you're supposed to be taking, what you're not supposed to be taking. It's meant for you, and you'll enjoy it, but just think, there are source karke khao. We think, no. See, ladies make so much of mehnat, and you must do justice to that. By more justice, more than the justice you make to the food, do justice to yourself. More than doing justice to the food, do justice to yourself. Now, you are unjust towards yourself, and namaz is not right in your namaz now. You think, when the namaz will finish? Because your stomach is turning, not feeling nice. You ate something that you're not supposed to be eating, right? Someone has got, maybe he's got a weak stomach, right? And he can't handle too much of milk. Like you saw that ice cream and you just took something. Then the whole night, whole day, then you're troubling. Going to toil one time, second time, third time. Someone's stomach doesn't agree with something, right? So you overtake that. Like someone, like myself, if I take one orange, it's alright. But if I take three oranges, it's going to be difficult. If I take about half a glass of milk, it's alright. But if I take one glass, I'm going to be having difficulty. So understand now, it's your system. And when that's your system, then work accordingly. You will feel nice, you will feel comfortable, you will feel relaxed. But if you're not going to do that, for that moment, you're going to be instantly gratifying yourself. And then after that, sururu shahrin wa ghumumu dahrin. For a moment you will be in surur, in happiness, and after it's always problem, trouble, difficulty, not worth it. Same now, people that have got sugar, etc. They must think now, right? I don't want to remain on insulin and tablets and from one thing to the other. I must understand my system. I can't be a glutton now. I need to see the thing and do justice to everything. And then be dependent on the drug. This is my system. This is how much it can take. Let me take so much. And let me be satisfied. Otherwise, you're at home, you're in problems. Tomorrow you're going to go for Umrah, you're in problems. You're in a marriage, the wife gets worried about you. In a marriage, and you've got children, the children start getting worried about you. But if you take care of yourself, nice, good care of yourself, you're happy, they won't get worried. What's happening to him? He's grasping for breath now. He's overeaten now, so he's gasping for breath. In namaz, when you overeat, right, and then the zakat comes coming out. Start burping and someone's adrak and lahan, everything's coming out. He's sitting next to you. He said, oh, Mala, unintentionally it happened. But who asked you to eat like this? Eat, the food is meant for you. But understand, there are samas karke khao. Eat, but understand what you're eating. So, your stomach will be better, and you will enjoy. And I explained the same concept to students, you know. Some of them say, no, must eat and diet. Don't suffer and die. So I asked them, all right, you say eat and die. You got a car, do you take good care of it? Or say, no, let it die. Drive wildly, die. Do you say that? That you know is going to depreciate, right? So you take good care of it. Then the other example I illustrate is that you are buying a second-hand car, used car, right? So it's, you know, it's about 1-2 years, right? And you know, this one car was used by an old white woman, right? She only drove it to work and back. And this one year, one of us was driving it. Loading cement and stores and everything. Overloading, overspeeding. Right? The year was the same. Who are you going to buy it from? Right. Obviously, you're going to use it correctly, it'll give you more mileage. Right? Use your body rightly, it'll give you more mileage. You'll be able to do more in less time. But understand yourself, understand how your body functions. Right? Everybody's body functions differently. So how much you can take, how much you can't take, how much you can digest, how much you can't digest. Right? So understand yourself and then eat. You can't imitate someone else. We see someone else eating so much and you have to imitate him, you can't. One Arab came to Saharanpur on Isamuddin. So he saw the Sheikh of Tadari those days now, and he's eating, and the Sheikh should eat a lot of spice, a lot of hot. Every muscle, one to marchas, is eating, so he's eating very hot, right? So normally when this Arab guest come, then they got a different dastarkhan for them, and they tell them biduni filfil, there's no chilies here, not spiced. This side is spiced and that side is not spiced. So eat this one here, that will be more agreeable to your system. So no, Shaykh ul Hadith eats this one here, Azadji eats this one here, I must eat this one with a filfil, with a chili. Said, please, it's not meant for you. No. The Shaykh can eat this thing here, I must eat the same thing. See what your system agrees. Is it agreeable to your system, eat that. What doesn't agree with your system, don't eat that. Drink something very cold. Now for your body to regain its normality, it takes time. So you know it's not agreeable. When you eat too much of cold, in the morning you're going to be coughing, it's going to be all of bulgum in your chest, right? When you're going to be clear, you're wondering where it came from. Or you can see your throat is not very clear many a times. So you're not supposed to be eating very fine flour, white flour, because if you eat that white flour all the time, then you're going to be coughing. See, that fine grains will be stuck up here somewhere in the passages, and that will cause an irritation. That irritation will be cleared up. You're going to clear it up by coughing. So you disturb yourself, disturb someone else. You don't need these things here. Simple. Understand your body, what causes the irritation, and then just leave it out. You will last well, and others will last well as well. Now I see youngsters, right? Sometimes you sit and eat with them, right? Young boys. Every lukma, they got tomato ketchup. Then he's got a breathing problem, because I think got tratasin, stomach problem, because it's all chemical. The chemical was for industrial use, not for your stomach use. Eating all this type of food. Now they must have chips, they think of tartars, and all the things that are not required inside there. Because it's commercial, it is not for health purposes, it's for commercial reasons. So whatever will make that thing sell, they will push in. Anything, dog food or anything, any kachara, or that thing must make it sell, they'll push it inside just to get the consumer. So they're not worried about your health. Your health you must worry about. So this Arab is eating the chilies. And the Thai won't eat that thing. So by the morning they ask the Sheikh, how's it now? He said, full focus here. But you couldn't handle the thing. Why you had the thing? You couldn't, you know, you pull back your fire. Right? You couldn't manage the thing, so eat what you can manage. That person's system, he can agree. You can't agree. Don't. So, advice was, don't do anything impulsively. Ta'ammul or tul ta'ammul. Now, you've got a limited wage, right? And you're seeing your friends all going to the mall to buy, right? Now, you know if you're going to go and buy like this, right? You're earning so less, you're going to bust all your money up there. So you rather buy something cheap from a corner shop, you bought enough for yourself, and you've got something surplus to see to your, the emergencies, etc. So now all the friends are going to the mall and going to buy there. Now, you incur debts. You incur debts now, and nobody wants to lend you. I said, now, what type of friends have got? But who asked you to put yourself into difficulties? You know this is your salary, then why must you take a car that is beyond your means? Take something that you can enjoy, you can drive around, right? But no, my friend got this, and he got this, and he got that, so I must buy that. And you bought it on installments, and all your money got eaten up like that. So live within your means. Therefore, the hadith says that the one that lives, what's the hadith? Ma'ala man iktasab. That you live with moderation, that you don't suffer poverty. Ma'ala man iktasab. Live moderate. How much? Idha anfaqu lam yusrifu wa lam yaqturu. Wa kana bayna dhalika qawama. When you spend, then you don't overspend and you don't underspend. You don't become a total miser, but you don't overspend as well. But moderation, how much you can manage easily, that you got for yourself, you got for your wife, children, right? For the rainy day, for the emergencies, you got something, right? And then over and above that, you are not in debts. Not in debts. So no, you're walking around, and you're walking around clearly, with a clear mind, with a clear conscience. You know, when we came to live in Spring Road, so there was a Chuhan that was living next to us. Maulana Chuhan's uncle, his kaka, chacha, is living next to us. So Maulana Chuhan's granny, Dadi, she used to come all to our place. So anyway, it happened that they came, and they started in the 60s now, so money was a little bit tight. So they didn't have money to put onto the windows, right? To buy curtains for the windows. They didn't have money for that. So the mother, although she wasn't very educated, but she was very intelligent, clever, intelligent, I said, no, it's not a problem. Let's put bed sheets. So it will do the service of a, it will do the work of a parda. What is the need of a veil, a parda, so that your privacy is not invaded, right? It will look more pleasant if you've got a nice curtain, but if you don't have it, then just block it off like this. So her son Farooq says, Mama, I'll take a loan and I will cover the windows. So she says, Mama, don't do that. Just live within your means. And then she gave three reasons. But as old, she wasn't an educated person, but very intelligent, very intelligent. She said, you see, if you're going to incur a loan just to beautify that window, right, you'll have three problems. One is, before the month can end, then a good portion of your salary must go to service that loan, right, number one. So you got that stress now, I need to service that loan. Number two is this, if you see your creditor somewhere, right, then you feel embarrassed. I'm owing you some money. I say, no, I'll bring your money. And sometimes you can be tempted to speak a lie. Don't worry, you're getting your money. Okay, I start in mind, I'm going to pay you. So you can be tempted to speak a lie. So you're walking around, you've got no debts. So I'm walking around with a clear mind, clear conscience. And I got no stress on my mind. I'm absolutely clear. Number three, then you don't have a sleepless night. You're sleeping nice deep. Because you're stressed out. And now you've taken a loan, right? So you're stressed out, you can't sleep well, you feel embarrassed before your creditors, trying to dodge and hide away from people, right? Where this thing happens? When you've taken a loan. And overall, then you are living with stress. What you have achieved? You have achieved a name in the eyes of people. This, it's an imaginary thing, right? People now, they look at me as Mr. So-and-so. It's just an imaginary thing. It's not anything that is, there's no substance in it. What have you got? You're just living in the imaginations of people. Then she explained, that the day you got money, and you're in a good position, then enjoy it. But now why must you get into that when you don't have the type of money? What do you get out of it? But you see these old people, they thought and they thought correctly. Now, you get into this credit facilities and all that, then after that, you see, the Shaykh of the writes, خائشات پھر ضروریات اختیار کیا کرتے ہیں. First, it's a temptation, right? It's a lust temptation. Then the temptation and lust luxury, the luxury becomes a necessity. Before it was just a luxury. But now you became dependent on the luxury. When you became dependent on the luxury, now it becomes a necessity. But the people are going through these difficulties because of this. Most people. Now they make it a routine in the home that at least 2 days in the week is going to eat out. Now you're going to eat out, apart from the wrong culture that prevails there, then the money, the cost that you incur, someone has to fill the bill, isn't it? Someone has to fill the bill. So, besides the discomfort, the culture that goes there, the money that is incurred. So, even our growing children, even though we are wealthy, but to get them to become dependent on a luxury is not the right thing. It's not a service you do to the children. They became dependent on a luxury. Once a week, twice a week was a luxury, but let them eat all the simple foods. Many a time the simple foods got more nutrition than the frozen food that you're eating. You're eating all the frozen food and you're thinking you're eating good. So the nutrition has gone out of it. You rather eat simple food, nutritious food, but cheap, easy, you can manage it, you can run your house. Above all, in the comfort, the shop that you're going to eat cannot substitute the comfort of your house. You eating, it's my own home, I can eat, I can stretch myself, do what I want, shout, or correct my child, I can do everything. But you're eating in a shop, you can't do all these things. So, love within it. Iza anfaqu, Allah counts it as a special description of the Ibad al-Rahman. Lam yusrifu wa lam yaqturu. In the spending, they don't overspend, they don't underspend. Moderation. So it says that an easy way to get your taqwa right is ta'ammul and then tahammul. Right? He abused you, insulted you, right? And you got worked up. When you got worked up, so impulse that you said, you told him something. Then it became a fight, became an argument. Sometimes you can take you to court. You use some derogatory language, right? So he's going to fine you, he's going to sue you for being derogatory, right? So now, then you become stressed now. This person is taking me to court. Now I have to go to a lawyer, prepare some papers, go and fight in court, or settlement out of court. So where this thing came from? Where you acted on impulse. But he said, no, let me make sabr. I won't act on impulse. Let's see now what's going to be the short term, what's the long term, what do I need to do? Now the same law of ta'ammul and ta'ammul can apply to so many situations. You're driving on the road and someone is harassing you on the road, right? So you want to show him a point. You tell him something and he tells you something and then he comes on your way, you come onto his way, right? Then it becomes a fight. Then he wants to throw you off. And if you are thrown off the road, then it can be that you damaged your motor car or you hurt some of your passengers, your own children. But can this be, you know, this type of a damage or hurt or pain, can you reverse the thing? The money is gone, your passengers got hurt, So now, understand now how to get out of the situation. Tam will think. See, the culture that's coming in now is just do it. It's a shaitanic culture. Because the hadith says, Ujlatu min ash-shaytan. Just do it. What comes to your mind, just do it. Don't think about consequence, short term, long term, but just do it. See, it doesn't work out in your expenditure, in your driving, it doesn't work out. When you're interacting, socializing, and you just work on impulse, then the problem again. Right? Many of our brothers and all have to do it in the wedding, because if you don't do it, then the woman will make a noise. All year, then they'll eat our brains. They'll eat your brains, alright, but then you incur expense, unnecessary expense. And someone has to take care of this thing here. Live simply, constructively, easily. The same money that you saved, now you direct it to your children that got married. They got a house and they got a small business they can start off. But now, for that one day event or 2 day event, and you splashed 1 million rand, 500,000 rand, you wasted it, the course be spent in a more constructive, better way. Lam yusrifu wa lam yaqtulu. They don't waste, nor do they underspend. And you can't justify yourself. No, I got the money, why mustn't I use it? Not a justifiable thing. In the 1970s somewhere, Bhai Pari had heard that in India they had problems in the marriages, right? So as a result, the marriages would be delayed. Because now the marriage is a long, lengthy, long drawn process. And in the process, India up till now, it runs India-Pakistan, so it's a custom there that the girl's party has to give a massive gift to the boy. According to now your standard, now somebody has to buy a motor car, sometimes a motorcycle, sometimes to buy these things there. As though the boy is doing a great ihsan to the girl, getting married to her. Right? So he has to buy something according to her level, or according to his level. She has to buy and give it. Right? So now, everybody cannot afford. I ask you, just buy a motor car straight. Are you going to get the money straight? Brand new car, how you going to afford that thing? So either person is going to incur debts, or otherwise he'll delay the marriage. Whatever's happening, marriage is getting delayed. Now, see, the elders don't think. So, well, let's delay the marriage 1 year, 2 years, let them complete their studies, then they can settle down, right? Or it will take us time to arrange for the marriage, get this all done, get the all the arrangements right. But we're delaying the whole process. When we're delaying the process, the youngsters, they cannot resist. When they cannot resist, not meeting each other. This fiancé business, right? How many times you get phones, you get an email, you want to make dua, my fiancé now, he's not talking to me so well like he used to talk to me before. No, he was making dua for the haram thing. All premarital relationship. Now that thing becomes out of hand, it becomes out of hand, they don't even realize that the wrong is wrong. Compounded. Isn't it makes it more complicated? So the elders don't realize that once upon a time they were of that age. And when they were of that age, then they couldn't resist the temptations. But now, for their convenience or whatever reason, you know, delay the whole process. You can see now the time, the life that you're leading is a little bit fast. Right? So, you need to guard your children from several things, that he mustn't become a victim to temptations, right? Number two, that when life is going so fast, then his temptations also will be quite high. So then, you have to get into marriage, you need to be responsible. So when the child comes at about 14, 15 now, teach him responsibility. Because he's going to take someone else's daughter in his life. And he didn't learn how to be responsible, right? When he didn't learn how to be responsible, he's going to be destroying his life and the next man's daughter's life. But in the meanwhile, he's got temptations. You know about it. And you're not going to be able to suppress those temptations. You get children complaining at the age of 12, 13. No exaggeration, 12, 13. They're complaining, that we are going to masturbation, right? And Allah Pak forbid, now you're getting girls complaining at that age that you've gone into masturbation, right? Now, I become disturbed, but I'm sympathetic towards them as well, because I'm thinking, you know, at the age of 12 he started this thing, and his parents are only going to get him married at 22. So for 10 years he must go and waste himself. He's going to overuse himself. And then where he needs to actually deposit that amanat, right? That fluid or that amanat that he has to deposit, then he won't be in a position to deposit it so nice, so well. He won't do it. Now, the secular education says there's no problem in him doing this thing yet. That's what they will teach you. But then you look at the Western life, right? Look at Western life. So you're making a comparison with them, see their lives. Their lives is such that around 40, the man is finished, right off, importance class. And you want to continue to 80. Right? That man, about 40, they finish class. So they may just do something, dancing and all that sort. Or could make a sector, kisi kaam ke nahi rahe. Right? So you can't make a comparison. They start off early and they end up finished. They end up, they can't do anything after that. Right off there. Right? So you can't make a comparison with them. So the only way you can do this, how you can reconcile this, is teach the child responsibility. Because he's going to take someone else's daughter. And he needs to be responsible. That man feels good at him. This boy here is young, but he's very responsible. Now, you say, what's wrong? Why can't you just get them married, even though he's irresponsible? Imagine it's your daughter that got married, right? And they're living in an apartment, or in a flat, or in a home, right? This boy is not responsible. He pulls him home at 1 o'clock at night. This girl is about 17, 16, right? How does she feel? He's frantic. Hey, what happened to him? Accident, hijack, kidnap, what happened to him? Doesn't she get disturbed? And she can't do anything. She doesn't want to break the marriage. She doesn't want to be a single parent, right? She doesn't want to be an embarrassment for herself and for her parents, so she can't talk about it. But then, how do you want her to live in fear, perpetual fear? Is that right? Is that correct thinking and reasoning? Then you get a problem, it's common nowadays, right? The parents say, no, let them delay the marriage because they must complete their studies. Completing the studies, where they complete the studies? In a university, right? What is a university? University is a free environment. You can do what you want. Talk, behave, do what you want. So, you want to delay the process. In the interim, the boy or the girl is going to get involved in haram. And after they really mess themselves, then they're going to get into nikah. In the meanwhile, they got missed, right? And they got each other's particulars. One is going to browse into the other one's memory. If I know, this was the girlfriend or this was the boyfriend. What happens to the marriage? No. There's no ta'amul, there's no thinking, no thought process. That I need my child to live a clean life. He mustn't get messed up and then get married. Clean life. Now you have ulama like that, absolutely clean. They didn't even have a wedding. So clean was their lives. Parents understood, all right, this is a child, this is a son I'm bringing up, what do I need to do? It's a girl, daughter that I'm bringing up, and how do I need to raise her? You know, miss them and then get them into marriage. And then they'll get children and their children will also be messed up. To what extent Allah Pak knows. You get these cases where but messed up. One person wrote in the course of this year. See, sometimes the problem comes again after marriage, then the in-laws need to know that the girl must be more obedient to her husband than her parents. Right? They mustn't then maneuver and manipulate. You're going to cause a problem afterwards. They must never manipulate and maneuver. One accountant came to me and he says, in-laws are very wealthy, it's a Umrah time and they want to take my wife. So they took her. Now, the Umrah is for about 4 weeks or 5 weeks. He says to me that I'm working in a corporate environment and the girls are very forward there. She's gone outside. What must I do? I'm stuck up here. So I have to tell him, I have to force that accountant, wait, just cut your work short. Even if it is that you get 1 month less salary, whatever, but you just go in Umrah. But he can't afford it. But I have to force him to do it because he was on the verge of falling to haram. Now those in-laws are not considerate. This man is married now and he's working in this type of environment. They're going to entice him. He's going to get involved. What's going to be the consequence? One person writes, wife was away, so the maid came to clean. And then I got involved. I said, well, the first time there, straight away I got a child. What do I do? See all the complications that come about. So, live within the sunnah. Simple, straightforward, clean lives. And accept reality. Don't hide away from reality. The temptation, desire is in every man. When it's in every man, then understand what's going on. One person wrote, he says that, I got the child from a colored woman. Right? Now, generally, these people are a little bit more free. Right? When they're more free now, then and it's colored, see? You know, choice is sorted for a mixture, so you get more attracted. When you got more attracted to these things here, so now, she's a Christian woman, she mothered my child. When she mothered my child, now, 1-2 weeks into the delivery, she's finished the confinement, all that. So she came with a social worker, policeman, and the newspaper reporter. You better sign up 15,000 every month. Otherwise, the reporter is here, police here, social worker is here, we'll take you to the cleaners. From 15,000 started to about 30,000, right? Because they knew his status. I had to tell him, hey, if you know what's good for yourself, you're going to stay in Cape Town somewhere, you lost your phone, everything's gone. Eventually he did that, alhamdulillah, he got saved. But now under his nose, his daughter now is about 18. She's going to church and everything else. No control. So this is, to a great extent, it is the parents' fault. They don't realize that these children have got feelings. And if that feelings are not going to be expressed in the right way, they're going to be expressed in the haram way. And then after that, that embarrassment will come to the whole household. And then the whole, you spoil the whole culture, your whole culture. Our culture was a culture of cleanliness, purity, chastity, all that, right? But you delay the process and this happens. So the exercise of making these children responsible, the in-laws wasn't coming between. They need the space and time, you give it to them, right? Make them feel responsible. Whatever they're doing, small and big, make them feel responsible. And you know they need that space and time, then don't side with anyone. You want to side with your son or your daughter, and you think you are a clever thing, and then he or she got messed up in haram then. Right. So you see this concept that is given, this lesson, ta'ammul or pir ta'ammul. Think. The short-term consequence, the long-term consequence, what's going to happen? In everything, whatever you're doing, but short-term consequence, long-term consequence, think about it, right? Things related to halal and haram, long-term and short-term. So there was one man that had a trucking business. So he came here. So he said, I've got a trucking business, I'd have to insure them. So I said, all right, just try it out. I asked him, how much you're insuring? How much premiums and all that? So he said about 100, 200,000 every month. So he's got a whole fleet now. So I said, what do you do? That amount of money, put it into a different account and don't touch that. Don't ever touch that. So he, this was the experiment, he tried it out. I met him after about 5 years. So he's telling me that in that account I got about 6 million, right? I got 6 million, I only used 30,000. Right? You won't touch that account, you deposit it. In the case of an emergency, you will draw from that account. But when you insured, you are worried and the driver is not worried. That worry is gone. So you are worried and the driver is not worried. But you see, tamul, think, and then take the step. You will do good for yourself and you will do good for others. So I was talking about Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, and he saw that in the 70s this was happening in India. And as a result, people are getting into problems. So he made mashwara with Mufti Abdul Rahim Sahib Lajpuri Rahmatullah Ali. Alhamdulillah, that was the good thing of our ulama, of our Jamaat brothers of the past. They go to senior ulama, make mashwara with them as well. So he initiated a drive of marriages in Surat, right? So he initiated the drive like this. He spoke to the wealthy. So, right, how many can you get married in the Sunnah style? You get the reward for it. One person said, I'll sponsor 10 marriages, 20 marriages. About 3-4 marriages he got it. The ulama at that time was very impressed. See, so much of haram was taking place. So many people were of age and the marriages were getting delayed. He ran this thing here and he got 300-400 marriages done. Now, instead of now splashing that amount in one nikah, you got 300 of your brothers saved from haram, difficulty, distress and all that, which is a better investment. Just to see that one day a daughter went with respect, or seeing your daughter with, not disrespect, but average, and 300-400 of your brothers is moving well now. They want homes, so gave them a little bit of whatever presents they are used to, 20,000, 37,000 rupees, gave them, started their home, and moving on. What was better? You saw 300 or 400 of your brothers all moving well. I remember that time, the Abu Rahim was very happy. This move was initiated, and monies were used in better ways. So you see this ta'amul, zara source karke kaam ko, think. Short term, long term consequence. Ta'amul, and then tahammul. Because you've thought of something that this is not going to work out, right? It's going to be a problem for me. Then you will not have the strength to resist straight away. So then you must endure a little bit. Because now, there's a pressing urge, I must see this thing here. Now to stop yourself, you will need a little bit of courage and determination. So when you require that courage and determination, now you take that courage, pluck that courage and determination on yourself and just stop yourself. It's going to be taking the toll on you. I don't say it's going to be difficult, but afterwards it will become easy. See, the system of Allah Ta'ala is any limb or any faculty, the more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. This, people that are doing gymming, they give you the concept, you lose what you don't use. It's therapy, you lose what you don't use. So I was talking to one doctor, he says to me that if a patient has got a hip problem or something, and if they ask him not to walk, in about 4 weeks, if he doesn't walk, he may lose the use of his legs. He could have been an athletic and everything. But 4 weeks or 5 weeks consecutively, he didn't walk at all. He could lose the use of his legs. So you lose what you don't use. So the same will apply in spiritual matters. See, now it's enticing that looking at that girl or something, haram, is bullying you, right? And you hold back yourself, you resist. The more you resist now, you create that ability within you to resist. Now it becomes, you'll have the strength to do it. You gave in now, then you'll be like a mouse, like a rat, anytime, check it again, see it again, see again. But you resisted. When you resisted, Allah gives you that strength. Then now you can resist. Now you have the strength to stay away from it. But every time it came before you and you couldn't resist, now that resistance will break, will collapse straight away. You can't hold back yourself. That strength and that enjoyment was supposed to be for your wife. And when you wasted in all these things here, then you have nothing for your wife. Our Qaritiyar Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Shahwat wa taqiyyi ashaddu. The one that is muttaqi, then he will fulfill the rights of his wife. And then he will explain. He says that one is not muttaqi, he doesn't resist. What will happen? Some of the temptation and desires taken from the eyes, some from the ear, some with the limbs, right? Some with the nose also. Not only the ears and the eyes, but some with the nose also, right? Temptation is coming out. So, a very small percentage is left for your wife. So, I ask you, have you cheated her or not? Have you robbed her or not? But you guarded all that feelings, all the desire you guarded, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the feeling of the heart, no fantasizing, nothing. Right? See, if you're not doing with the eyes, then the ears. Not the ears, the tongue. Not tongue, the nose. Not that, then with your hands, right? Right. This fantasizing thing is a big thing today. And we don't think much about it. But this fantasizing is not how can it be permissible? You see, now, I didn't see, I didn't touch, so how can this fantasizing, how can it be halal? So I ask you a simple question, right? If someone is fantasizing with your wife, and you get to know about it, will that be acceptable for you? Or make it even more serious, he's fantasizing about your mother, then? So, the same will apply to him. If you were doing it, then it's someone else's sister, someone else's wife, someone else's mother. So if it was not permissible for your wife and your mother, then it can't be permissible in life for his wife or his mother. How can you do it? So, in these different ways, this temptation is coming out. When it's coming out, you may seem to be a well-bodied person, but you're not doing justice to your wife. You're not fulfilling her rights. And then if she did something wrong, then I don't say she is justified for the wrong she's doing, but you're also partly responsible. Because you're not satisfying. If you're not satisfying, then she had to go and do it something else. Right? But you put a problem on yourself. See? So, you lose what you don't use. So you used your resistance, your power to resist, held back. When you held back, then you're fulfilling rights. Everybody's rights are fulfilled. Wife is happy, everybody's happy. Right? There's no haram then. See? But this principle of ta'ammul and tahammul, that you think first, don't just jump. Whether it's a word you have to say, whether it's an action, whether it's a move, whether it's a purchase, whatever, but think. Mawlana says, Rahmatullahi, that if someone just applies this principle, at least about 80 or 90% of the wrongs will be ended, terminated. Just ta'ammul and ta'ammul, think. What is consequence, short-term consequence, long-term consequence? What is the qabr consequence? What is the akhirat consequence? The worldly consequence? Think of all these things, then you'll be very safe. But the wrong comes is when you apply the shaitanic concept, just do it. That's where the problem comes. Tahammul, and then after tahammul, tahammul means then must endure. You'll have some difficulty at the beginning, but you keep on practicing, then this becomes perfect. Then that whoever, then it doesn't tempt you. Not that you won't have the feeling. You'll have the feeling, but it won't be a drive in you. It won't be like a compulsive order in you. You must do it. Any girl you come across, you must see it. Must see. So we're talking about what will take people to Jannah mainly, right? So the first thing is Taqwallah. Taqwallah, in other words, anything that will amount to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will not be pleased. I ask you, if your wife is not happy with you one day, right? Can you live? Can you sleep nicely? You came to the bed and you asked her, you ate. So she's not replying rightly. Give me one word answers. Yeah, I ate. What you ate? Food. So she can give you one word answers, but how would you like it? And then you ask her, she says, yes, no. How do you feel? And then sleeping time, she just turned over to the other side. How will you feel? So you can't tolerate the displeasure of your wife one day. How can you tolerate the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala? Think to yourself. This girl that didn't create you, she didn't make you, she didn't bring you up, she doesn't feed you, right? But you couldn't tolerate her displeasure for one day. Then how would you tolerate the displeasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? How can you do it? Therefore, Hazrat Imam should say, Muzumad Allah filled the grave with nur. As though the whole road became very clear to him, absolutely clear. So he says that the least a Muslim can do when you are about to lie down in your bed, make istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. Mistakes that you know or you don't know, the mistakes that you have the heart to leave or you don't have the heart to, but ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, this thing I don't have the heart to leave it, but yet I'm still asking istighfar. Give me the tawfiq to leave it all. I'm doing stupid things, wrong things I'm doing, misusing my eyes. Allah, forgive me. Give me the tawfiq to leave it out. I misused my tongue. Allah, forgive me. I beg you, Allah, for your forgiveness. Right. So you ask for forgiveness before you go to sleep. Right. Then in the process, if you died, then you, it can be said you died in tawbah. Can't you say you died with tawbah? If you have died in the process, you can still say at least, you know, At-Ta'ibu Habibullah. The one that died in tawbah, then he is the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will look at the person favorably, that he was remorseful of the wrong, and therefore before, Noam Akhul Maut. Noam is like death, right? So before he could go to a semi-death, he asked, he cleared himself. So I look at him favorably, rather than the person that is just disconcerned. We in Yas from the street, Min Khapla, not worried at all. Min Khapla, not worried. Did the wrong, not worried. It's what? If I did what? So it's wrong. For that attitude. So before you're sleeping, 1 minute, 2 minutes, you're talking to Allah Ta'ala. Forgive me. Mistakes, small, big, knowingly, unknowingly. Let me be more careful for the next day. What I've done, I've done. But for the future, I'll be more careful. If I waste my time, I must use my tongue, must use my eyes. Where I went wrong. So, you are asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and you're straightening the relationship. Your relationship is going right. So, At-Ta'ibu Habibullah. So the first thing that will take you to Jannah is taqwa, restrain. Right. And the second thing that will take you to Jannah is Husnul Khuluq. Husnul Khuluq needs a little bit of explanation. I only got about 4 minutes, but I'll just give you the broader principles. Maybe some other time, let's expound on this thing here. Husnul Khuluq, Lama Qurtubi says there's three things that are required. See, first understand the virtue of Husnul Khuluq. See, the weightiest things on the scale on the day of Qiyamah is good character. Good character, the weightiest thing. In Abu Dawud Sharif, this hadith, At-ta'imu shakir kas-sa'imil qa'im. Good character, you are grateful to your wife, to your children, whoever. You're grateful, not getting angry and all that. You're eating and enjoying, but you are grateful, good manners. Then your position is like the one that is making tahajjud and fasting. But that is with good character. See, grateful, appreciative to Allah Ta'ala primarily, and then to other people that you have to be grateful to. So you're not losing yourself, not losing your temper. So you may get worked up, but then think now what reward you will score. At-ta'imu shakir kas-sa'imil qa'im. Just for your good manners. Then on the day of Qiyamah, on the scales, that's the weightiest thing. Good manners, good habits, good ways. Weightiest. Because you talk about other things, but what's going to be the weightiest thing? But then good akhlaq, what does it mean? See, this is also a problem in this day, that we come across wording in the hadith, in the Quran, and we give our own definitions. It's not right. See, look at the definition of the experts in that field. There's an expert in every field. Fiqh is an expert. Nahw is an expert. Science is an expert. So what definition they have given? So they say that Husnul Khuluq has got three elements. One is Bastul Wajh. Show a good face. Now, suppose they have for 1 month now, you know, smiling to your wife. How she feels? She did the same thing to you. How you feel? If she did the same thing, no smile on the face. She's feeding you. I did my duty. You want some time, I give you time. You want your food, I give you your food. But no smile on the face then. Then you say, rather than the biryani, you rather give me a smile. When you say that, that smile means so much to you, that rather than the biryani and kebab, give me the smile. When you say that. So one is bastul wajh. It's such an important thing. Allah Baraka reward our muhaddiseen, shariheen, all that. The way is so easy for us. It's just that looking through the books, see what they say. And now see the reward that you're going to earn for yourself, acquire for yourself. A good face. What did it cost you to show a good face? How much should you pay? In fact, the health experts, they say that it is healthier for you to smile than to build up your face. It's healthier. For your heart, it's healthier that you smile. For a good face, nice face, it's healthier. So for the health foundation is also saying, the heart foundation is saying, but have a heart. Smile. Kuch jayega aapka, just hasne mein, muskurane mein, koi nuksan aayega? No nuksan. Right. One is bastul wajh. One is kafful adha. Number two, to bring about good character. The second element is not to hurt. Don't say it was unintentional. You must intend not to hurt. Don't say it was unintentional. Right. Intend not to hurt. Right? You're pouring tea, for example, now over that person's head, and you went on to him, right? He burnt himself. It's not unintentional. They intend that you are going to hurt. I'm going to pour the teeth such if it spills onto the dastarkhan, not to any person, onto any person. So intend not to hurt. So you are in the wuzu khana now, intend not to hurt. Now you're sitting on the wuzu khana and you take 5 minutes to make miswak. I didn't intend to hurt him, to inconvenience him, but I took time. But you could have done that before you would sit on the seat there. Sitting in the toilet now, it's a toilet, communal toilet. And you're building castles in the toilet, right? Now, people are lined up. So, no, I didn't intend to inconvenience them. But intend not to convenience. I need to go do my work quickly. Maybe there's someone else also needs to use the toilet. I need to park my car. Intend not to inconvenience the next most trust. See, careful of that. So, whatever. But you must intend not to hurt. How must I do it? That it doesn't. Coming to the masjid, I don't speak. Right? I don't have a foul smell on my body or on my clothing, in my mouth. Right? I must intend. No, I didn't intend to do this. Someone painted the masjid. No, it's right. No, not a problem. You didn't intend to hurt someone. But it doesn't revolve around your intention. That foul smell is not right. Mufti Shafi Sahib in that Adab al-Masjid, he's got that when there's a foul smell in the masjid, the spirit, the soul of the masjid shrinks away. So you're not getting the nur of the masjid because you brought that foul smell. So you're thinking, how you can avoid this foul smell from the masjid. Now this fellow looks elegant, so you give it a paint, a facelift and all that. In the meanwhile, the nur of the masjid is gone, shrunk up. Right? So intend not to hurt, not to cause any pain. This is the second thing. And the third thing, to wrap up and to complete this good character, is badlul ma'ruf. What you got, spin on this. وَمِمَّا رَزَّقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. It doesn't only have to mean money, but you are blessed, for example, with a profession, right? So you having someone as your accountant, all right? Someone doesn't know his work, his books, how to do it. So someone you charge and someone you showed him. Or you are a plumber, for example, and someone doesn't know how to do it, so you showed him. Maybe he's an apprentice plumber, so you corrected him, do it like this. So what Allah has blessed you, you could give others. Whether it's money, whether it is profession, whether it's a talent, whether it's a career. So one woman, just before Ramzan, she's complaining, you know. What are the reason of complaining? No, I did Ramzan Delights. I made a whole book, Ramzan Delights. So someone got hold of my book, and then they put in the internet, the whole world got to know about it. But so much of merit I put to get this kitab right, I thought I'd make so much of money out of it, you know. And this person got it and he sent it viral. So I said, Ben, make sugar, man. Make sugar. Because every person that's around the world is going to eat according to Ramzan Delights, they'll think of you, make dua for you. So is it an occasion for you to cry or to be happy? So many people, at iftar time, prime time, you know, dua is going to get accepted. At that time, hey, prime delights, thought of this only a rocket and samosa and whatever. Is it a thing for you to cry or for you to rejoice? So our hearts are becoming narrow and narrow, just centered to money, not towards sawab. What can I do for my brother, for my cousin, my uncle, Muslims in general, what can I do for them? How can I make it more pleasant?